Take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. Of course, now I want us to settle ourselves. If you need to step out, let it be an emergency, and then do it very quietly, and then we won't have any talking or playing now for the remainder of the service. Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 8. Then please, with me, out of reverence to the Word of God, would you stand? Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon, please. Help us to go uninterrupted. Father, may we give our attention to the truth that will be explained and taught today. Help us to better celebrate your son's birth because we came to church today. Thank you for the music. It's been fantastic. The Sunday school hour was refreshing and instructional. Now, Spirit of God, reach down in a society in which the season has basically been corrupted. And may you find an element of purity as you look at our people and the church and what's taught and lived as a result of what's taught today in this church service. Holy Spirit of God, look past my shortcomings and look to the need. First of all, the need of glorifying Jesus, and secondly, the need of the people that they might be better servants for you. Bless us with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I want you to understand something. Let me tell you what I've entitled the sermon, Christmas is a Time to Help People. Christmas is a time to help people. I do think that our society has corrupted this wonderful holiday. If we're going to talk about Christmas, it's all supposed to be about the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't get all caught up in what the society says this is all about. Christmas is not all about Santa Claus, folks. It's all about Jesus Christ. Christmas is not all about Frosty. It's all about Jesus Christ. This is not all about Rudolph. He gets more attention than Jesus does, I'll guarantee you. There are more kids talking about Santa and Rudolph than there are talking about Jesus. But I've got to tell you, it's all about Jesus Christ. There are people in here that you are going to find yourself in the next couple of weeks disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted, or you didn't get anything. I think you're mixed up. I didn't know you were supposed to get. I thought Christmas was all about giving. I thought that's what it was all about. I mean, there are people in here, you will virtually be disappointed because you didn't get enough. You didn't get what you wanted. You didn't get what you thought you deserved. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be a mean-spirited pastor. I did that last week. But this week, I'm trying to be a nice guy. But I'm here to remind you, Christmas is really not all about those things. God knows Christmas is not about fruitcake. That is of the devil, and everybody, you know it. And some of you, you're doctrinally incorrect when you talk about enjoying it. When you get to heaven, God will straighten you out because there won't be any fruitcake in heaven, I'll guarantee you. It'll be in the other place, but it won't be in heaven. I was reading in the book of Psalm, and I found in Psalm 46:1, the last few words said, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." You know, folks, if you listen to what we read there a moment ago in Luke chapter 2, verse number 14, it talked about, it was the announcement of the Christ child, and what a beautiful job Mrs. Owens did in singing about that announcement this morning. But notice that it used the words at the end of verse number 14, goodwill toward man. First of all, God was showing goodwill toward man by sending Jesus Christ. But I will guarantee you that when he put the words goodwill toward man, he was saying to you and I who claim Jesus Christ as our Savior, that this birth of Christ, this season, ought to, young people, pay attention. Don't talk now. Pay attention right up this direction. It ought to be that you and I have the goodwill of man as a part of our Christmas program. I really think that you and I need to learn how to be good to people. I think Christmas time is a wonderful time to help people. The Bible teaches that our God, who is our ultimate example, is one that is a people helper. Think about it. The God who is busy administrating the vast universe that's out there also has time to help you and to help me. When the Bible uses those words, goodwill toward man, may I say again, I believe the fact that Jesus came was God's goodwill toward man, but God wanted you and I as Christians to pick up on the fact that we ought to be practicing goodwill toward man. God is a people helper. He has man's goodwill in mind. God helps us through his word. Listen to these verses. Psalm 119, verse 175 says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me." That's talking about God's word. God gives us his word. What for? It's goodwill toward man. This Bible is God's expressing goodwill toward man. Thank God we have the Bible. And that's God expressing goodwill toward man. God is one that can quickly help us in our time of need. Psalm 38, verse 22 says, "Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." And here it's talking about making haste. God can express goodwill toward man very quickly, with haste. He can get to us when we're needed. God is interested in goodwill toward man. Our God is a very present help, the Bible says in Psalm 46, 1. We read it earlier. It says a very present help in the time of trouble. In other words, when you need help, you could dial 911 and they'll get there eventually, but with God, you don't even have to dial. He's on the spot. What is that? God's very present help is goodwill toward man. God giving us his word is God's goodwill toward man. God being so quick to run to our aid is God's goodwill toward man. God lends us a helping hand, the Bible says. In Psalm 119, verse 173, it says, "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." God will give you a helping hand. What is that? That hand that God lends is God's goodwill toward man. God's name is set out there and made available to us because God's name is a help. Psalm 124, verse number 8, it says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." What's that mean? God said, "I want to help you. I want to exercise goodwill toward you. My name will help you. It will strengthen you." I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I've been in places and times in my life when I really couldn't figure out what to say. I really didn't know what to ask God for. And there have been times when I have virtually been curled up in an emotional ball, and all I could do is say, "Jesus. Jesus." You say, "What were you asking for?" He knew. He knew the only thing that I could get out is his name. Oh, but how precious, because the minute he heard the name, it's like a mama that hears the cry of that baby, and nobody else knows what that baby needed, but mama knew right away, that's the cry of my child. My child needs my help. When God said goodwill toward man, I believe the great God of the universe was saying, "I've expressed goodwill toward man by sending you my son." I think he also was saying, "Hey, you Christians down there, you make sure you don't lose track of what this Jesus coming to the earth was all about. It's to promote my desire for goodwill toward man, not just goodwill from the Heavenly Father to the earthly beings, but goodwill from God's children toward those earthly beings, the other Christians and the lost people." I think God's compassion is a compassion that can help us. Mark chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion to us and help us." A story in the Bible where the compassion of God is noticed as a help. And when I look at all the ways that God helps us, I'm amazed. You know, you and I, we're to strive to be like him. And I think when the Lord said in the Christmas story, goodwill toward man, I think that was a part of the intent for the Christmas season. I think we celebrate Christmas, and I'm glad that if you exchange gifts, and I'm glad that you get to have a meal with your family, and I'm glad some of you are such hard workers, and you get days off work, and you get to watch some football, and you get to have some snacks, and I'm glad for all of that. But let me remind all of you, this season is really all about the birth of Jesus Christ. And he said, what I'd really like to see come of all this is there would be peace and goodwill toward man. Goodwill toward man. And that's why I say, I think we're all messed up at Christmas when we get to looking inwardly, when what we ought to be looking is outwardly. We shouldn't be concerned about ourselves, but what we ought to truly be concerned about is we ought to be concerned about others. It shouldn't all be about your needs. It ought to be about the needs of somebody else. Our God said, goodwill toward man. I think then if you notice there, God's words were goodwill toward us. God could quickly get to us. God was a very present help. That's his goodwill. I think God helps us with our trouble. He lends a helping hand. His name helps us. His compassion helps us. All that is his goodwill toward man. He is our ultimate role model, which means you and I, during Christmas season, I really believe that we ought to be practicing goodwill toward man. I think our words then ought to express goodwill toward man. I think we should be quick to help our fellow man. I think we should be need fillers, like God is a need filler, expressing goodwill toward man. I think we should help people in times of trouble. I think that we should help people when they fall. I think we should show compassion on people. What is that? Goodwill toward man. I believe that Christmas time is a special time to show goodwill toward man. When my kids were growing up, they would come and help me. And you know, when they're real small, they are, and kids don't listen to this, but parents, you'll understand quickly. When they're real small, they're more in the road than they are help. And they come to help, and it makes the job last a little longer, and it makes the job probably a little messier, and it makes the job even a little more challenging. But I can remember my wife sending the kids out to me where I was doing a task, and she'd say, you go be daddy's helper. And you could say to one of the kids, what are you doing? I'm daddy's helper. I'm daddy's little helper. And they were helping. I want to ask you a question. Would your heavenly Father look down at you and label you as daddy's little helper? Are you your heavenly Father's little helper? He could do it without you. Our involvement probably complicates things of God. Don't you think God knows what he's doing and could do it without us? Yeah, it's a little messier when we get involved. The project takes a little longer. It's probably not done as high quality, but thank God, the great mercy of our God. He says, I'm the father and you're the child and I'm going to get you involved. And it's not going to turn out as well as what it would have if I'd done it myself. And it's going to take longer and cost more and be messier. And it's not going to be exactly the way everything could perfectly be. But thank God that he gives us the chance to be daddy's little helper. And he said at this Christmas time, he put it in the scripture in the Christmas story, it's a time when I want you to exercise goodwill toward man. Lest I be misunderstood, I think you're supposed to practice goodwill toward man 52 weeks out of the year, but I could see a little extra dose of it at this time of the year being very appropriate since in the Christmas story with the birth of Jesus Christ, he said one of the things I want remembered at this time of the year is goodwill toward man. Very simply, in the next couple of minutes, I'll tell you some ways that you and I could practice goodwill toward man. For instance, I think we should help people. Matter of fact, let me start by saying this. I think you ought to want to help people. Really. There are people under the sound of my voice, both in this auditorium and some maybe that will listen to this by a CD or on the internet. Have you really given much thought of helping anybody this season? We can become awful self-centered. Life is all about me, mine, what I want, what I need. Folks, that's not the Christian life. And if we want to practice goodwill toward man, we ought to want to practice goodwill toward man. Do you want to help people? Who have you helped recently? Are you a people helper? Or are you the helped? Are you always the recipient? Is it always people reaching out to help you, or are you helping someone? May I say to everybody, I think what will ignite the whole truth of this sermon is we ought to want to help people. We ought to want to practice goodwill toward man. I heard someone on the news the other day say, well, it's a dog eat dog world up out there, and you gotta act like it if you're gonna survive in it. Let me tell you something, Christian. It may be a dog eat dog world, but we're sheep, and we are to behave like sheep in a dog eat dog world. You say, I might get stepped on. Don't you think Jesus got stepped on when it came to the way they treated him? You think you're better than the Savior? I'd be careful developing the attitude of this world. Really, Christian, it's not all about me and it's not all about you. It's all about exalting Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to take an interest in other people. I think it starts in your heart. There are people in here, you need a revival in your heart. You need to start caring about somebody other than you and caring about somebody's burden other than yours. And care. You say, what is that? That's goodwill toward man. So first of all, I think we ought to want that in our hearts. Secondly, I think we can practice goodwill toward man by loving people. By loving people. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that charity never faileth. The word charity there would be equivalent to our word love. It never fails that charity helps. Love always helps. You know, you can help people without loving, but you can't love people without helping them. You need to learn to love. Love helps people. I'm going to tell you something. I said this earlier. I mentioned to all of you that Mrs. Amber Owens received a telephone call that her brother got shot and killed. When I talked to Amber, this is what I said. I said, Amber, I'm not sure what to say, but I will tell you this. Mrs. Owens and I love you very much. You know, there's sometimes, folks, you don't know what to say, but love never faileth. Love never faileth. Let me help some of you. Some of you need to learn to love some people outside your family. Even the heathen love their family. You need to step outside your comfort zone and love somebody that's not got your blood flowing through them. Love somebody that, somebody here needs to learn how to love somebody that doesn't get much love. But if we want to practice goodwill toward man, we need to start it in our heart. Then we need that love to be exercised. And I think you ought to love your family. But I say to you, it's time that some of you grow up in your Christian life. There are people in here. You've been saved for years. You'll love your family, and you think you get yourself off the emotional conviction hook when we talk about loving. You say, well, I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my family. I'm not talking about just your family. There's a lost and dying world out there that don't have family to love them, and Christians are to love outside the box. There are all sorts of churches that are satisfied today because them and theirs are in church. They're not reaching out to the lost. They're not trying to help other people. They're not trying to help the drunk. They're not trying to help the one that is captive by the drugs. They're not trying to help the poor. They're loving their family. And they'll walk around thinking in their hyper-spiritual way that that was enough. Now, you ought to love your family and you ought to be good to your family, but it's time for some of you to reach outside the box at Christmas time and practice goodwill toward men that you are not related to. We can practice goodwill toward men by loving them. Number three, I think we can practice goodwill toward men by letting them, maybe helping them to see the bright side of the dark happenings of life. That's an attitude help. Helping people to see the bright side of the difficult things in life. People need encouragement. People need encouragement. This negative world needs some positive people. Now, I'm not a big promoter of the power of positive thinking. I just tell you this, though. There ought to be, in the realm of Christianity, there ought to be people that are encouraging. And some of you, you're discouraging in your conversations. This whole world's got enough discouragement. They've got enough discouragement. Let it be that the people that that attend the Twin Rivers Baptist Church is some of you are going to visit family and you're going to be around people and they need encouragement. They don't need the same old negative and looking at the downside of life. They need some encouragement. They need someone that knows how to smile. Some of you find a couple good, clean jokes and have them ready so you can make people laugh. They just need something to laugh about. Help people see the good in their life. Help people see the good that they have. But I think we can practice goodwill toward man if it starts in our heart and if we really love people. I think if we'll start promoting and on purpose looking at the good in our lives and in the lives of others, I think we can help people with this goodwill toward man. But not only that, number four, I think that we could practice goodwill toward man. I think we even practice it by standing the right way for the truth of God. Standing the right way with the truth of God. You know, people need truth. People need truth. You don't help people when you don't give them the truth. Now, you can hurt people if you give them the truth the wrong way. There is a right and a wrong way to give out the truth. And I will tell you this. I would rather you gave the truth in the wrong way than to not give the truth. But there is a right way to give the truth. People need someone who will tell them the truth without having the intent of being destructive. That some people go to give the truth and it's always an attack. You don't have to give the truth in an attack mode. You can give it in a very kind and a gentle and a loving mode. One of the best ways to give the truth is give it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and then He can be the interpreter in how it is delivered. You give the truth with the intent to help, not hurt. I watch way too many people that want to go share the truth of the Bible or right living with someone, but they almost do it as a dig. They almost do it to say, "See, I told you so." Well, my boy, couldn't God say that to us over and over and over again? But never do I think that God's intent in giving me the truth was to rub my nose in it or try to destroy me, but because He was loving me and He was trying to make me a better person. He was trying to contribute to my welfare. Goodwill toward man. Use the truth as a blessing to people, not as a curse toward them. You don't help people you don't help people by denying them the truth. That doesn't help. It's giving them the truth with the right attitude and a right spirit. In the Christmas story, those words, goodwill toward man. You ought to want to be practicing goodwill toward men. You do it by learning to love people. You do it by helping them get encouragement in the darkness and the dark days of life. You do it by sharing the truth with them, but you don't do it as an attack. You do it as if you're sharing a precious commodity, a beautiful opportunity. Number five, I think we can practice goodwill toward man by not practicing sin with those people. Not practicing sin with those people. You know, did you know that when you separate from sin, you're helping your family? When you separate from sin, you're helping the lost. When you separate from sin, you're helping your church. When you separate from sin, you're helping your God. If you sin with people, you're hurting them. That's not goodwill toward man. Goodwill toward man is you doing the right thing at the right time with the right attitude and letting people see Jesus Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. You might say, well, if I tell them no to that particular sin, it will hurt them. Now, you're going to go visit family, and they want you to get drunk with them at Christmas. I don't think good Christians celebrate Christmas that way. I don't think that's how God ever intended. And New Year's is even worse. You can latch on and hug everybody's wife and kiss somebody that you're not married to, and I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. But you say, what do you do? Well, you very kindly learn how to say no to sin. You don't have to punch somebody in the nose to tell them that you don't want to drink. There's a right and a wrong way to do it. But I think if we want to practice goodwill toward man, I don't think we ought to be sinning with them. That's not goodwill toward man. When the Christmas story was given to us, the words goodwill toward man, people sing it. People talk about it. It's brought up this time of the year over and over and over again. And in a special way, I think God expressed goodwill toward man, but he wanted man to express goodwill toward man. So he's saying, man, get this in your heart. You ought to want to be good to other people. You'll do that by loving them. You'll do that by developing an attitude that helps them to get through and encourage them, even in the dark parts of their life. You'll stand for the truth, but in a decent way. And you won't go out and get involved in wrong with them, but you'll stand against wrong, but you stand against it in a pure and a decent way. But only that. I think we can perpetuate this goodwill toward men by helping others to help others. Helping others to help others. Folks, could I recommend to everybody here, help your children not to make Christmas all about them. Honestly, family in our church every year, they help their kids to buy Christmas gifts for, and they do it anonymously, and they do something for another family that's needy in the church, and they get their kids on it. The kids help with the shopping, and the kids help pick out gifts. That's a very wise thing to do. Very wise thing. Our kids were growing up. We used to get a bunch of things. We'd take them. On Christmas morning, on more than one time, we would go to someone's home, and we would just pile their porch full of gifts, knock on the door, and take off running. That's not what Young used to do. If he'd go knocking on their door, you know, he was setting their watermelon. Oh, no, not their watermelon. Their pumpkin on fire. But we used to do that, and boy, we would hide around the corner, and the kids would be looking. We had a van. You know, you got a lot of kids when you're down to a van, and it's not big enough. So we got all these heads looking out the door, that sliding door on the van, and watching someone come to the door, and kids coming out, and they're in their pajamas, and they're getting these gifts and things. We tried to teach our kids. I wanted my kids to practice goodwill toward man. I wanted them to learn that. This morning, I was in my office just putting last few touches, not on my sermon, actually on my spirit, before I came in here to preach. And Hannah Kroon came to my office. She said, "Preacher, you have a second?" I said, "I sure do." She said, "I've got some girls here that have something to give you." And some girls and some in this auditorium, they come in to give me a Reese cup and a Christmas card they made for Christmas. You would not believe how excited they were. And I told them, I said, "Oh, I love this. This is my favorite vitamin Reese cup." And they laughed. I said, "You can eat this for breakfast. You put 5 or 6 of these Reese cups in a bowl, pour a little milk on it, tell your mom you're having breakfast, and it's good for you. It's healthy. It's health food. It's got peanut and chocolates of bean." And they were just laughing. But I can't tell you, folks, how thrilled they were to give me that Reese cup. Folks, we need to teach our kids to get thrilled about giving. The thrill will come natural about receiving. That's easy, right? I mean, you don't even have to teach them how to want. But you got to teach them how to give. And it is so important. So I think you and I can practice goodwill toward man, and we can pass it from generation to generation by teaching that it's not all about getting, but it's all about giving. Do something for someone anonymously. And I think a bunch of you have. We have our Christmas tree out here, and you've been dragging things in here that we're going to use to help some people and to love on some people. That's good. Men, hey, some of you men, your wives are housewives, and they don't make a bunch of money. Make it so your wife can be expressive. Make it so she can give some things away and feel reward, that rewarding feeling of reaching outside the box and doing for someone. Help a worker in your ministry to help somebody. You know, help people learn to help people. It's a big deal. But I think that's practicing goodwill toward men. I think you can practice goodwill toward men by giving someone another chance. And I'll only mention this and I'll leave it. But let me tell you something. There's some of you, you'll visit family members and you have some family that you've had some pretty tense moments with through the years. You want to practice some goodwill toward men, won't you give it another chance? You say, "But I could get stepped on again." Okay. Go into it with your eyes open. And say, "Okay, I might get hurt, but I'm going to reach out and see if I can again doctor this relationship a little bit." That's practicing goodwill toward men. I didn't say go drinking with them. I didn't say go party with them. But you could reach out and you could try again. What is it? Practicing goodwill toward men. I think there's somebody in here you could practice goodwill toward men in the next week or two with family or a friend by just forgiving them. Just forgiving them. Folks, everybody needs forgiveness. Everybody needs forgiveness. Only Jesus never needed forgiveness, but you and I, we all need it. Forgive, do the best that you can to forgive and forget, and then live on in peace. What is that? Practicing goodwill toward men. Forgiveness, hey, you need to, and I think, to me, my concept of forgiveness may be a little different than yours. Forgiveness, in my opinion, is better for the forgiver than for the forgiven. Now, that's my opinion. It's almost forgiveness. It could almost be stingy. I need to forgive because it makes me a better me. I need to forgive because of what it can do with my spirit and with my attitude. But God knows, goodwill toward men, if you're a Christian, you and I, we ought to be going around forgiving. But I don't think the Christmas season was intended for there to be family conflict and hatred and spite and revenge and lack of forgiveness. I think it's a good time to practice goodwill toward men. I think also that it would probably help all of us if we want to practice goodwill toward men just to be reminded. The Bible says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, I think every last one of us, if you were in Sunday school this morning, and some of you need to start coming to Sunday school, but if you were in Sunday school this morning, you would have learned that we talked about how God is, he gives us assurance in our salvation. Now, that does not mean that God does not, hey, God cares about how we live. God wants us to live right. But when you stumble, God doesn't snatch your salvation away from you. It might be a real good idea for some of us to realize that those people that you're at outs with, they're sinners just like you. They're sinners just like you. I would recommend to all of you that you try to learn to live at a spiritual plane as to when somebody sins, you're not totally shocked. Some of you, it's, I just can't believe it. Are we all sinners? Yes or no? Now, I think for us to want the best and to expect the best, that's okay. But some of you are devastated when somebody sins. That's what we are. We're sinners. Listen, practice goodwill toward men and develop the right attitude. You all realize, and for some of you, to help you with your families, and all of you don't have families that go to a church that teaches like we teach and preaches like we preach, I want to explain something to you. Do you understand that if you have family members that are lost and they're unsaved, the way they live their life is probably exactly like lost, unsaved people live their life everywhere? And until they get saved, they're not going to do the right thing most of the time. Then if they go to a church where they're not taught right, then they're not going to behave right, because to the best of their knowledge, their spiritual leader has not told them that that's wrong. And I think that spiritual leader ought to get on the ball and tell them the difference between right and wrong. But just be patient and love them. I'm not trying to get you to dilute your convictions. I'm trying to get you to mature your approach to your convictions and understand that lost people live like lost people, and weak Christians that go to weak churches behave like weak Christians that go to weak churches. Now, you know better. I mean, you should live like them, but goodwill toward man is to stop and calculate, you know, where are they truly in the spiritual realm? And then you practice goodwill toward them. You treat them in a way where you understand maybe they're weak because they're in a very weak situation. Let me give you a couple more ideas and we're done. I think we could practice goodwill toward man by learning to win others to Jesus Christ. You know, if you're saved, then you know about Jesus. If you're saved, you know about salvation. And I think you ought to tell others about salvation. I think you ought to tell others about Jesus. There are people that sit under the sound of my voice today that you want to be a part of a soul-winning church. And somewhere along the line, you were taught very well and told you ought to be a part of a church that wins others to Jesus Christ. And you were told somewhere along the line, and rightfully so, that you ought to go somewhere where that they have a soul-winning program, and that's great. Let me ask you this. Would we be a soul-winning church if we were all following your example? In other words, you require to be a part of something that you're not a participant in. Well, if I were you, I think I'd think through that. Hey, and I don't know that there's a much greater way to express goodwill toward man, that if a man's on his way to hell and you show him how to go to heaven, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good goodwill toward men, comma, in between the goods. When we read there in Luke chapter 2, it was all about Jesus Christ, the Savior, and His presence and Him coming was God's goodwill toward man. And what I'm trying to point out to you, it was really all about salvation. Angels we have heard on high. About what? A Savior, who's Christ, the Lord. And if you and I want to really practice goodwill toward man, we need to tell them about the Savior. We need to present salvation to them. Now, there's some of you, you're newer in the Lord and you're newer in the church. You say, I'm not really sure I know all about that. Then grab yourself some gospel tracts that have it clearly printed on there and hand it to someone and tell them. It shows them how to be saved. But, you know, and this isn't a Christmas sermon per se. This is the week before Christmas. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday, and I'll try to bring something that will help us with Christmas. But let me say this to some of you. You know, you've been a part of a soul-winning church for 20 years, and you still don't go soul-winning. Some of you need to grow. It's time to grow in that area. There's nothing more important that one Christian could do for another person than to keep them out of hell. So I think we can practice goodwill toward men if we will be concerned about the souls of men. This is what I said. When God said goodwill toward men, I think God was demonstrating goodwill toward man by sending the Savior. But I think also that God was saying to His people, now you go practice goodwill toward men. You go to help to develop that peace that this season gives extra attention to. And I said that needs to start in the heart. As we start by loving people, we start by helping people with their attitude, the difficulties of life, and helping them to find good and see that God is good in it all. I think we do it by standing for the truth, but we stand in the right way. I don't think we practice goodwill toward men when we sin with people. I don't think we practice goodwill toward men when we do wrong with them. I think it even ought to be to the point where we're training others to practice goodwill toward men. I think we can do that by giving someone another chance. We can do that by giving someone forgiveness. I think that we can do that by realizing that man is a sinner and that we should not be shocked if man falls short. We realize that's a potential. I think we can be good or practice goodwill toward men by telling others about Jesus Christ. I suppose there's a lot of titles that a church could hold. There are a lot of ways that people look at a church. This is the second church that I have pastored in my 40 years of the ministry. In the county where my last church was found, there's a church there, and this is what they were known as in the county. They called them the Rock and Roll Church. That's what they called them. Now, that wasn't the name of the church. That's how they referred to the church. Say, why? Because they had rock and roll music in their church, which it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before we'll have that kind of junk around here. But that's how they were known. There are churches all over that they are not known by their church name. They are known by some entity, some behavior, if you will. I wouldn't mind if our church was known as a church that helps people. I wouldn't mind that at all. You know, if somebody didn't know, say, what's the name of that church? They know us by our teal roof. They say, the teal church. I can't remember the name of that church, but it's the one that helps the people. It's the one that picks up the little boys and girls. It's the one that they give stuff to people and help people, and boy, that'd be the way to be known. That'd be the way to be known. I'd like it if we'd all just practice good will toward man. I'm going to make a statement and then another statement and then maybe five or six more and then I'll be done. We're an old-fashioned, independent, King James Bible, Fundamental Baptist Church. I have no apologies about that. We believe in standards. We have convictions. We believe in separation from the world. And they go very deep with me. Scriptural standards and convictions, some of which I will not change. I will not change. But you know, if you have a strong stance on certain things, you need to counterbalance it with a strong love and compassion and wisdom with people. I really, you'll have some that'll say, and I guess you'll have to forgive me for this. Some say, he's pretty thick-headed out there. That's okay. But I also want that counterbalance with they're the ones that help people. The ones that help people. That's what we want to accomplish. When I thought of the Christmas story as I was preparing for this morning, the words, good will toward men, came to mind. First of all, because of God's goodwill toward us by sending us Jesus. Secondly, God expecting you and I to practice goodwill toward men in our lives. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I've got good news for you. God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants you to go to heaven someday. If you've never been born again, if you've never been saved, I want to invite you to the Savior. Who here would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pastor, I do not know for a fact I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? That's me. I'm not sure I'm born again. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. How many of you then would say, Preacher, if I died today, I know I would go to heaven. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I'll not lie in church. I'll not lie to myself. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand just as a testimony to God and to this pastor? So God bless you. You may put your hands down. Then let me encourage everybody here. Oh, I want you to have fun at Christmas and wrap gifts and take days off and watch football and eat candy canes and talk about Rudolph. I'm not against all of that. But I'll tell you this. I'm ultimately for what Christmas is really all about. It's about Jesus and good will toward man. And that's something you and I are to be living out, and in a special way in this season. Who here would say, Pastor, I do think maybe I can improve in that area some. There might be some things I could do and have a little more goodwill toward men. Some of you, just when I said it's time for some of you to reach outside the box and be concerned about more than just yours, I want you to love your family. Some of you need to reach a little further out and say, I'm going to help some people that maybe are not my family, but I'm going to figure out to practice goodwill toward man, and God has spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Hands, yes. God bless you. Amen. Here's what's going to happen. You may put your hands down in a moment. I'll turn to the pianist. She'll begin to play. When she does, we'll stand. Once we stand, if you need the altar for a moment, there's some of you. You know, we talked about forgiveness this morning. We talked about forgetting some things. We talked about trying again with some family member, your patience with some people that are not doing right. But look, they don't go to a church that teaches them, and some of them aren't saved. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, God, help me. Help me in the next week or two to do this right. I want to practice goodwill toward man. I want to help add to the peace, not to the chaos of my holiday season and the people I love. If you need this altar, I'll welcome you to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at this altar? If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need to just come and pray and say, God, help me. I want to do right this holiday season. There's some young people. You need to decide, I'm going to get my eyes off myself a little bit. I want to do the right thing. Goodwill toward man. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. God gave us the example of that goodwill. Now you and I, we ought to take that example and live it. try not to get so caught up in the commercialized part of Christmas that it's all about Frosty and Rudolph and Santa and days off and football. Let's make sure that we're practicing goodwill toward man at an escalated rate right now, because he chose to bring that into the birth, the story of the birth of his son. He said, let this motivate your goodwill toward man. We ought to be good and practice goodwill 52 weeks out of the year, maybe in a special way. You say, how so, and how can I do that? Well, I think by being forgiving. I think by winning people to Christ. I think by giving someone another chance. I think that by not participating in sin with them, by standing for the truth in a right way, loving people, helping people, giving to people, teach people to be practicing goodwill toward men. Teach it with your influence, by example. This is the last time through the song.